Welcome back to Lessons of a Former Pastor's Wife. My name is Amy Kennedy. I am your host, and this is my story. If you've been listening to my lessons prior to this one, then you know I've been through a lot in my 54 years of life. I wasn't blessed with a healthy body, and I made decisions all along the way that made my unhealthy body that much worse. An example is found in my very first podcast when I spent almost 10 months mentally denying that I was sick. I have often wondered if I had made the decision or if those who were closest to me had made the decision for me to go to the doctor. Perhaps I would never have had to have a kidney transplant or have had to suffer as much as I've had to suffer. However, I always shut those thoughts down because, first of all, you can't go back and change things that happened in the past, and because I truly believe I would not be the person that I am today if it weren't for all the trials that I have suffered. It wasn't God's doing that I lost my kidneys, but I know God used my story to be a blessing to others, and when I have allowed Him to, He has also used my story to remind me of how much He loves and protects me. Today's podcast is about getting through a crisis of faith. And I was very surprised how difficult it was for me to work on this one. I came into this lesson with a primary theme, but it kept morphing and filling my brain, causing me to lose sleep several nights in a row. This is because in my imagination, I had an exercise planned that I was going to challenge each of you listening to do. Because I never want to promote something that I have not done, I did what my imagination thought was a great idea. I did this on Monday. Then I spent all of Tuesday and much of Wednesday in a fairly deep depression. I'm going to come back to this exercise later in the lesson, and hopefully you'll understand what I'm talking about. In deciding to discuss the topic of crisis of faith, I can't help but remember St. Peter, who shows us the perfect example of what crisis of faith means. In Matthew 14, 22 through 33, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of Him to the other side, while He dismissed the crowd. After He had dismissed them, He went on to a mountainside by Himself to pray. Later that night, He was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves, because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw Him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's You," Peter replied, "tell me to come to You on the water." "Come," He said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I've often heard scriptures of how strong Peter's faith was to get out of that boat. And while that's true, we can't forget that Peter had a crisis of faith right there while he was walking on the water. Peter was walking on the water heading toward Jesus. Everything was fine and dandy until the wind came. It wasn't the physical act of walking on the water or the fact that he was walking straight to Jesus, who was standing on the water, that held his faith firm. In spite of the physical, actual proof in front of him, he still allowed the harsh wind to shake his faith and cause him to sink. In all of our lives, there will come a storm. Sometimes many storms. It's inevitable, and you may not be prepared when it comes. And just like Peter, we may find ourselves in a crisis of faith. Peter's storm was a physical wind that scared him, and his fear and loss of faith were what caused him to sink. A crisis of faith is a time, and I believe this will happen in every Christian's life, when something happens and you have to make a choice. Maybe your one person who has always been there for you dies, and you have no idea how you're going to get through the overwhelming grief. It feels like your heart was broken and God should have protected you. He should have kept this horrible thing from happening, especially if you have done your best to faithfully serve him. It's in that moment of utter despair and anguish, at that exact moment of crisis, that you have a choice to make. You can also suffer a crisis of faith when you get fired from a job unexpectedly, make a devastating financial decision that you think will destroy you, you find out your spouse is unfaithful, you get a diagnosis that could end your life, or someone close to you gets a devastating diagnosis. A crisis of faith is any situation that causes you such stress and anguish that you find yourself questioning God's love, God's faithfulness, and even God's existence. Peter was doing the impossible with his Savior, but in a moment, his entire reality was focused on the harsh winds that blew all around him. He had physical, concrete proof of being able to do the impossible because he was doing it with Jesus. But he still lost his faith. I know that of all the biblical characters, I tend to identify the most with Peter. He was flawed and he was impulsive, and he allowed fear of his circumstances and fear of the future to cause him to lose faith. I know I am just like him in so many things. But I have hope and faith that God can still use me despite my many flaws. After all, it was Peter who received the blessing from Jesus in Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What I find especially interesting about this scripture is that it comes right after Peter lost his faith and sank in the water. This story is an entire podcast of its own, but I don't have time to go over that today. I told you about my night in February 2023 when I had a crisis of faith. I didn't recognize who I was any longer. The circumstances I found myself in were overwhelming and confusing. I had no idea how I had even been gotten to where I was, or why it was all happening to me, especially after fighting another difficult health situation. I was broken, and all I could think of was, how could God allow this to happen to me after everything I've been through? When is enough going to be enough? When is it my turn to have a good life? How could a loving God allow any of this? My crisis of faith almost sunk me. All I wanted to do was lay down on the cold tile floor and die. I was not being dramatic and foolish. I was not overreacting. My circumstances were overwhelming. It was too much for me, and I did not understand. In that crisis, dying seemed like the only option. Now, when I say dying, I'm not talking about physical death, although my emotional anguish certainly made me feel as though my body wasn't strong enough to get through it. I'm talking about dying spiritually. And I believe many Christians choose to do that when they face their own crisis of faith, because frankly, it's easier. I know that just like me, you've met people who are on fire for God, and they serve Him and they bring others to Him, but then something happens and all of a sudden they just go into the world. That's because they had a crisis of faith and they chose to spiritually die. This is also why so many people are very angry with God. God gets the blame for all the stuff that goes wrong in our lives, because He could have, He should have never let it happen. And the enemy wins every single time that we allow ourselves to die spiritually. I was at that point, but God granted me just enough strength to reach out my hand to Him and cry out, "Lord, save me," just like Peter. And just like Peter, I feel like I climbed into the life-saving boat and started to worship the one who saved me. Now, this brings me to the exercise I mentioned earlier in this podcast. And yes, I'm going to challenge you to do what I did. However, I am going to ask you to be wise and pray for strength to absorb and understand what you see before you do what I'm going to challenge you to do. I think this is the mistake I made, and I paid for it. I foolishly had an idea that I still believe is a good one, and without thought of any consequences, I bulldozed ahead with my plan and was overwhelmed by what I saw. The challenge I am setting is this: go into a room by yourself where you will not be interrupted. I know this is going to be hard for some of you moms who still have kids at home, but try to find time. Take a piece of paper and a pen with you and draw a horizontal line on that paper. On the left side, write birth. Then make a vertical line for every age you were when something significant, both good and bad, happened to you. This line can include good decisions that you have made, bad decisions that you have made, and things that were not in your control. Keep making vertical lines for every age until you reach the age you are today. Above each vertical line, write in the age that you were when that significant thing happened. And under the line, write a brief description of what happened at that age. I'm calling this exercise my lifeline. I was going to share with you my own personal lifeline that I did, but as I stated earlier, it put me in a pretty deep depression when I absorbed all that I had gone through in my life, and I realized it was deeply personal, and I'm just not yet ready to share it publicly. But I can share a couple of things. My first vertical line was at the age of 8 when I moved in with my grandparents. And my last vertical line was at the age of 53 when I had my crisis of faith, which was just a few months ago. In listening to my early podcasts, you can piece in for yourself some of the vertical lines on my lifeline. But there's so much more to my story, and until I saw it all lined up together, I didn't realize exactly what God has truly brought me through and the incredible blessings that he has given to me. I went into depression because my eye went immediately to all the difficult situations I've had to face. It took me almost 2 days to change my perspective and view those difficult situations as victories. Yes, in 1996, I have a vertical line at the age of 25 when I was diagnosed with end-stage renal disease and immediately placed on dialysis. But earlier in that same year, I also have a vertical line showing the birth of my second son. He's my miracle baby. I think they call children born after a miscarriage rainbow babies. Well, that gorgeous young man is my rainbow baby. I plan to get pregnant with my oldest son, and I plan to get pregnant again when he was 1 year old. But I lost that baby at almost 4 months along. I still don't remember how it happened, but somehow I ended up pregnant a little over a month after the miscarriage. Of course, me being me, I denied being pregnant until I was forced to go to the doctor and found out I was already 3 months along. Because the miscarriage was such a painful ordeal, we waited until I passed into my second trimester before we told anyone, and especially before we told our family members, and they were not happy about being kept in the dark. My point in telling you about my rainbow baby is that although I have that vertical line at the age of 25 in 1994, that changed my life and almost killed me, I also have so much good that came to me in that year. Both of my sons are truly the best men I know, and I could not imagine my world without them. In seeing all those good and bad vertical lines, I am forced to physically see the proof of everything that God has delivered me through and the incredible, unbelievable blessings He granted me all along the way. My physical proof of God's great grace in my life will hopefully help me reach out to Him faster the next time a strong wind threatens to blow me over. I hope you will do as I did and take time for yourself to draw out your own lifeline. Be warned, go into this exercise with a great deal of prayer and asking God to open your eyes to truth, that He will give you the strength to face what you see. Because you may not like everything that you do see, and you may not want to face everything that you have been through, or every decision you have made. We know what we've been through, and deep down we know the bad decisions that we've made. But it is truly enlightening to see them all spelled out on a horizontal line. I believe this exercise has helped me change my perspective on many of the decisions that I made and a lot of what I've gone through. It also helped me to have grace on myself when I failed and proven to me that although I may have another crisis of faith in the future, I know God brought me through this one a little banged up, but safe. And He is still building me up to be stronger than I have ever been. When you face your crisis of faith, are you going to take the easy road of dying? Are you going to allow yourself to be entitled to lay there and suffer and eventually get blown over by the storm you never saw coming? Are you going to choose selfish means of supposed healing by seeking to satisfy your flesh because your spirit is in such anguish? Are you going to medicate your hurt away, then keep medicating it with more and more medication until you don't care about anything or anyone and you make decisions that are the absolute worst for you? Are you going to allow anger at your situation to fill you with hate and resentment until you no longer recognize the person staring back at you in the mirror? Maybe you're listening to this podcast and you are starting to realize that you've already been through a crisis of faith and you chose all that I just mentioned. You chose to die spiritually rather than reach out your hand and cry, "Lord, save me." I'm here to tell you that it's never too late to be like Peter and cry out, then let God save you every minute of every day until that gaping wound that almost killed you heals. And once that wound heals, will you proudly display the scar for the world to see what God brought you through? Because here's the hard truth of the situation. Once you go through something that causes you to have a crisis of faith, you will never be the same as you were before. It's your choice if you're going to allow that situation to make you a broken shell of the person that you once were, or to become a warrior who overcame the impossible and has the battle scars to prove it. I want to leave you today with my favorite scripture. This is my favorite scripture from the time that I was 14 and was baptized. Isaiah 40:31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. As always, this is my story. You have your own story, and I want to hear it. I'm also willing to see your lifeline if you want to share it with me. I will praise God with you for all He has brought you through, and I will pray and cry with you through everything you are still facing. All you have to do is email me at formerpastorwife@outlook.com. If you want me to pray for you, I can be that prayer warrior. May God bless you as you do this very hard homework project. May He grant you strength to face the truth, both good and bad, and the wisdom to work to change what needs to be changed. If you are sinking in the waves right now, I pray that you have the strength to cry out, "Lord, save me." This will not be a one-time cry. Those waves are meant to take you under. So keep reaching your hand out to Jesus and crying for His strength to save you. It will be something you have to leave with Him time and time again. But I promise you that one day your healing will come, and you will be able to proudly show your scars of victory for all to see what God has done. After doing my own homework project, I decided to change the direction of my next two podcasts and focus instead on forgiveness. I think that after you do your homework project, you will need to find a way to forgive what has been done against you, and maybe even more applicable to forgive yourself for the decisions you have made. I hope you will join me in the next lessons, and together we can explore the power of forgiveness.